Is it good to go? We are live.
We're live.
What's going on, guys? Welcome in to a very, very special episode of the Bay LA Podcast. Your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm Austin Sexton with my Warriors guys, Casey and Roman. And today, the Los Angeles Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors in the Bay Area. How you guys feeling? How you guys doing, man?
Doing good, man. Good. Good.
Yeah, this is an important matchup, right? This is what this podcast is all about.
We were made. If we weren't made for any podcasts at all or any shows, we were made for 4 years. We were made for 4 years unless we play each other in the podcast. And this is going to be a big one. So before we dive into it, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, do all the things for the podcast side, the vlog side of things. You guys know what I'm just trying to say. Make sure to give us a like and share us because we're just some guys who love to talk hoops and we love to talk hoops with you. So let's go ahead and dive in. Start it off. The 22 and that's insane. The 22 and 22 Warriors. It's weird to say that. Sorry. The 22 and 22 Warriors are hosting the Lakers tonight. Tip off at 5:30. I'm sure it's a ABC game. Unless it's ESPN, I'm not exactly sure. But either way, this is the same thing. What are you guys looking forward to tonight? What's going on with the Warriors, guys? Talk to me.
Oh boy. What am I looking forward to? That's a deep question. I'm looking forward to hopefully a good game. It's usually a good game, like whenever the Warriors and the Lakers play each other, like that Christmas Day game. That was like another instant classic in the LeBron
for sure.
Curry matchups. Yeah. And then I think these teams just match up against each other just really well. Even with like AD like playing at a super high level still and them having issues with size, as we know. But we didn't see AD much during Christmas. He got hurt early. So hopefully he's healthy, ready to play a full game tonight. And yeah, hopefully we see some good basketball. I'd love to see the Warriors somehow get a win. They desperately need it, but they'll have their hands full.
Yeah. To answer the question, what am I looking forward to? You know, just watching Warriors basketball, I'm kind of done having these like super high expectations for the Warriors. Especially like just throughout this season, it's just reminiscent of last season. We're a 500 team. We're not really well put together. The roster isn't playing well up and down. We're dealing with injuries. And I know these are common issues for every team, but
yeah,
this is just a classic matchup. There's a nice little like recent rivalry that's been birthed with this type of matchup. So I just get to watch a high profile game with high profile players just doing what they do. So just make it a good game. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, I think that the Warriors Lakers game series, if you want to call it a new birth rivalry in the Pacific Division, I think it's really the game. I think the games are so good because even though you guys don't have a really big interior presence to be able to handle AD, we typically aren't great at guarding at our guard play. Obviously with the additions of Dorian Finney-Smith and something we'll talk about here very shortly and another player who are back, we are definitely kind of stepping up in that regard. I know that the Lakers are trying to focus more on defense and the offense is starting to come, but what we both lack is why the games are always so close because you guys don't have an answer for AD like that. And a lot of times who do we have for Steph Curry? And then, like, obviously, you've got your other guards who will heat up. Like, is Buddy going to cook tonight? Like what's going to happen? You know, it's always a coin flip. So, if you're definitely excited to watch the game, and a huge reason that I am excited for tonight. We talked about it all the way back in August, September. They said he was going to be back for game one. We are 44 games in, and we are now here for the return of Jared Vanderbilt. Welcome back, Vando. You are off the injury report.
At
least he's off the injury report. He's active tonight for the first time in 44 games. Ironically enough, February 9th was the last game that he played against the Boston Celtics when he went out. It has almost been 365 days. I'm not exactly sure if he would be in rotation tonight. I'm sure he'll get like a couple minutes just to get his sea legs back under him. Can't really expect too much from Jared Vanderbilt, but I'm happy that he'll probably get some run because last time I really saw the best version of Jared Vanderbilt, I think back to probably the Warriors Lakers series when we made the run. So I guess what, 2022?
The play-in tournament?
When we played each other in the second round of the Western Conference.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Lonnie Walker series.
How could we forget?
Yeah, that was probably the best version of Jared Vanderbilt I saw. So I'm excited to see if he can get back to that. So, but, you know, obviously we'll go back and forth talking about Lakers and Warriors. Let's talk about what's going on with these, with the Warriors, guys. A forgetful January for Golden State. 6-6 in the month, and you're currently 11th in the West. What's going on? What do we got to do to fix this? What can the GM, what can management do? How do we turn this thing around, guys?
It's just kind of like, I don't want to say it's a perfect storm because it's been horrible, but so we had, you know, I remember us doing a show either late in the year of last year or beginning of the month where we're looking at the Warrior schedule and it was looking like a pretty manageable schedule of games. Like, all right, like this is an important month. They could come out of this month with like a winning record. They could, you know, be in the picture for the playoffs. But
yes,
Jonathan Kuminga went down with an ankle injury. They're saying it's going to be weeks before he's going to return to the court.
Draymond Green
has been in and out of the lineup. They had a rough road trip. They've managed to sneak some wins. Like they got a sneaky win against Detroit, but
who is a good team?
They're a good team. Cade Cunningham.
Isn't it insane to say that the Detroit Pistons are a good basketball team?
They're a good team, and they've definitely have like paid their dues of being a bad team.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But and they just kind of, there's the games they do lose, it's like classic Warriors fashion in which like they'll be seemingly ahead. Like the game earlier this week in Sacramento, they were a good game. They did most things right until the very end.
Yeah.
And they just kind of fumbled the game away. And here we are, 6-6 record, 500, looking at the, you know, from the outside in, the play-in tournament.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so crazy too, man, because this is just what I believe. I know that you guys are strongly disagree with me. I think that anybody that does check this show out is probably going to strongly disagree with me. I don't believe that there's any team in the Western Conference. Like if the Warriors could get in to the top eight, you know, if you go through playing and you get there, I think that anybody can win the thing out of the West. Cause I'm not 100% sold on OKC. People think I'm crazy for that. I just don't think they're strongly built. I know that SGA is having a career year, but I think that I think that the Warriors are always sneaky good, no matter what. Like, give them a best out of seven series. Anybody playing anybody in the West in a seven game series, matchup dependent, I think the thing's wide open. So I think you guys are just so close. If you could just sneak into that 10-9, obviously you want a 7 or an 8 if you're going to do the play-in thing. But I think you guys could do it because, I mean, hell, you guys were – here we go, showing life against Chicago. 131-106 victory. Curry led the team with 21 points. Chicago's a decent enough team. They're very up and down, but you guys can show signs of life.
It's an interesting team.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors have been, especially in the past couple of years, like we have games against beatable teams where we get a big lead, we throw the lead away, we lose in a close game, and then we handily beat a good team the next day or a couple days after.
Yeah.
And then for like three games in a row, we just offensively fall apart. We barely get to 90 points. And I don't want to say it's an issue of like roster management and lineup rotations, but the injuries aren't helping with that. And the Warriors are having to rely on a lot of, I mean, I don't want to say inexperienced players, but, you know, not high quality players because of these injuries. Kuminga, Wiggins has been out some time. Draymond is out right now. It's just this constant management of the roster, and there's no consistency. There's just nothing being built upon ever, it feels like. And that's kind of important through a full season of basketball. Like, you need to have consistency to prepare yourself for a seven game series, because that's where all of that kind of pays off.
100%.
Yeah. So with all that being said, based off of your roster build right now, everything that's going on with management, do the Warriors need another star, or do you need more depth? What is going to get you guys at least to the hopefully the 7-8? And at this point, let's say 7, 8, 9, or 10.
No, it's depth. For me, it's absolutely depth. I think the Dennis Schroeder trade was incredibly helpful. I think that was a very smart move.
Yeah.
I think it has overall paid off. I notice it in the lineups where, you know, we're relying on Dennis to take the point and, you know, be that facilitator. I like what I see, but I feel like we don't have a lot of great wing options currently. And that is difficult with like floor spacing and how the NBA offense is usually run in the modern era. And of course, you can always talk about the Warriors' issues at the five. We don't have a great consistent center, but yeah, I think depth is going to be the only real key to the Warriors making a good playoff push.
I agree. Trying to also piggybacking off what Roman just said, the consistency, that's a huge thing too. Moses Moody, our favorite guy of the show.
Mr. Moody minutes.
And we're starting to see those more Moody minutes, and he's looking like his former self again. Like, he missed some time with an injury. But yeah, I mean, I think depth is the answer for the Warriors, because I don't think, like, you know, you trade your depth to get Zach LaVine or a Jimmy Butler. I don't know if that makes this team extremely better. Like, you might win like 2-3 more games, but like, I don't know, man. Like, it's tough. And like, and we saw Nikola Vucevic on the other day, and that's the hot name that's been in some trade rumors with the Warriors.
I'm just not a fan of him, man. I'm not. I just don't think he helps. I feel like everybody loves the idea of a center until you have a center. They like everybody's the reason that people want the center is because of Jokic. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's the only reason why people want that. And I don't know if I genuinely believe, once again, matchup dependent, that Denver is going to be the favorite to come out of the West. Everybody wants it just for that brief moment that they had, because everyone was like, to me, as a Lakers fan, everybody saw AD and Jokic go at it, and AD relatively getting cooked because Jokic is 2 inches taller and like 50 pounds heavier. You know what I mean? So what are you going to do? But then you don't have that matchup. You're basically, every team's looking for, you know, the Yusuf Nurkic, the names that we're talking about, and they're trying to find them on like a $7-8 million deal, Andre Drummond, but you're going to pay all that money to have them for one potential series. You're in the East, you know, if you're a team in the East and you have those big bodies, which the East tends to have more of them, you might as well just fleece anybody that's trying to be in the West to try and grab that, you know, financially. No, and, I don't know, man.
And we saw Nikola Vucevic, you know, in the Chicago Bulls game, and we saw Warriors rookie Quentin Post kind of do those things that we would want Nikola Vucevic for, like stretching the floor. Like, Quentin Post was shooting threes at a pretty high clip, finished the game with like 20 points. Granted, this is a very small sample size of Quentin Post in real NBA minutes, but he's had two pretty tough matchups for a center, like one being DeMontis Sabonis in Sacramento.
Yeah.
He had a pretty good game. And then the second one being Nikola Vucevic, and then other just Chicago Bulls bigs that are athletic and fast. I thought he did pretty well. I mean, he's a rookie, and he obviously, you know, there's room for improvement, and he's going to have his hands full tonight against Anthony Davis for sure. So this might be like a reality check, but Quentin Post, though, that's a guy like Warriors fans, like, we can get excited about, because here's a 7-footer that is confident in his shot. And I don't know, like, we haven't never seen a 7-footer on this Warriors team, or like on a Warriors team, in like a very, very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was talking about big men. It's a nice little segue into the Lakers side of things, where Anthony Davis just recently had an interview with Shams Charania. And one of the biggest takeaways from it that's been kind of blowing up the internet is AD keeps saying, you know, we're a piece away, we're right there, but we need another big, and he's always played his best at the floor. So as somebody who listens to several Lakers podcasts and I have throughout the last couple of years, if we go back to the championship run, AD played about 55% of his time at the four and about whatever the difference is, 45% at the five. You know, I definitely agree that Anthony Davis is a really great four, but I still think he benefits the best from the five, as long as we can have another big who is more of a shot blocker. And if you could stretch the floor, great, but we just need somebody as a rim protector, you know? And lately the Lakers have actually been running lineups with Jackson Hayes and Anthony Davis. It's a little clunky, but for moments you see flashes of the 2020 team. So if I'm Rob Pelinka, you know, if I'm, you know, 6'4", nice hair, you know, good looking guy, I'm going up to every GM, and there's one in particular, and he's in Utah, and his name's Danny Ainge. And I'm saying, what does it take for Walker Kessler, man? I know everyone says they're just flashing they're just playing around. But I think for the time period that we have left with LeBron and Anthony Davis, I think you just go in. You give both of the firsts, you give what the fuck is his name? The guy, we're never gonna even play him. I never hear his name anymore. Jalen Hood-Schifino, and throw in something else. Throw in a second. You know what I'm saying? But obviously Danny Ainge is gonna
want something else. LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Well, we're going based strictly off salary, right? So obviously Utah gets worse in that trade, so we have to incentivize, right? That's why we're throwing the first in.
Yeah.
But I think I'm happy giving up Jackson Hayes. I'm a little reluctant now to give up Cardio Gabe, who is no longer Cardio Gabe. He's transformed back to Miami Gabe.
He worked on the cardio long enough. He's actually in shape now. He's feeling it.
Yeah, right from Miami.
Yeah. but I think, like, at this point, I would be willing to give – I hate to say this, but since I haven't seen him all year, Christian Wood. I'd be willing to give Christian Wood, Jalen Hood-Schifino, and the two firsts. And I think that's enough. And I think we're going to get him. I genuinely think Rob's going to do it, man.
Oh, wow.
I like the optimism. Another name that I – have seen, you know, this is another familiar name with the Lakers and trade rumors, but I've been hearing that or seeing on the internet. So
the internet's right all the time.
All the time. So, you know, this is true, 100% factual, but
yes,
that the Indiana Pacers are hesitant to give Miles Turner a max extension, and he wants like $30 million a year, and it's like yes, but Miles Turner, the Pacers don't want to pay him, and they're willing to actually move him. I feel like that's got to be something that, I mean, I feel like every NBA team should look into acquiring a Miles Turner. He is that good of a player, but
have you seen the meme? Warriors show?
There was like a meme that was going around. I think it's maybe in our group on IG, where I think it was like Sadiq Bey or somebody on the Pistons was like calling him out for playing with Legos and calling him suspect.
Isaiah Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah Stewart. Yeah.
Every time I think of Miles Turner, I just think of him playing with Legos. I'm surprised that we don't hear Miles Turner more in Warriors trade discussions, because I feel
more?
Like
you want to hear it more. Man, I feel like I hear it every time.
Oh, I didn't. I don't ever get any Warriors insider information. My algorithm on IG and all of my stuff is like literally, I get one Steph Curry every now and then. It's like Steph and LeBron together.
It's definitely a fan fueled and like kind of like media fueled thing. But like, I think everyone in the back of their mind knows that it's not going to happen, because like it's just not going to happen. And another player who I think, I don't know if he's on the market at all, but Nicholas Claxton. He's making
that
like
guy's talented, man.
27.3 million.
Yeah.
I mean, if
Miles the only issue I have with that, the only issue I have with Nick Claxton is he's probably like 220 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah,
he's pretty slight.
But I mean, if we're talking about just strictly rim protection and a potential lob threat, you know, I think it just depends on how you're trying to utilize him.
Yeah, and then even thinking like maybe not as a blockbuster of a move, but Robert Williams the third.
That is a big. I hear that heavily in Lakers stuff, and I hear it more so the Lakers are trying hard, but Portland and Los Angeles have never traded with each other, and apparently Portland takes pride in that. So it's going to take a lot. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard being a Lakers fan, man. Everybody hates you. But, I mean, you guys know how it feels. I mean, there was a moment where everybody just hated the Warriors. So.
I think they still do.
Yeah, I think they're going to hold on to that until Steph is gone.
Yeah,
and exactly. Draymond, probably.
It might be until Steve Kerr, too. Whoever survives, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting little side question is, like, how long does Steve Kerr stay the head coach if Steph Curry leaves?
I don't know.
I think he's done. I think he's done.
Yeah, because we also see, like, Greg Popovich, where it's like he could have retired after the Duncan dynasty finish, you know, but you got that last one.
Yeah.
He could have called it a career and still gone down as one of the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah.
But he's still doing it. Like, he's back for a rebuild, another rebuild. So,
yeah.
We'll see. But, yeah, I don't know. Personally, I could see Steve Kerr nodding out after Steph and Draymond hang it up too.
Man, Robert Williams on the Warriors would be nice.
But the thing is he healthy? You know, like I haven't watched enough Portland games.
Yeah. Portland has. I watch a game every now and again. I have to tune in just because it's my local team up here, and I mean. The Blazers have a, like, talk about a mismanaged roster, poorly built roster. This roster is kind of a disaster. And the contracts they're attached to right now are all awful. I don't know if you've looked at Jeremy Grant's contract, but that thing is guaranteed for another, like, 2 years. Oh, there's no trading that, man. It is ridiculous. And
Jeremy Grant is the worst contract in the NBA.
Yeah. That was such a questionable move when it first happened, and they're just still getting to live with it. But they also have DeAndre Ayton and Donovan Clingan, who is honestly, I mean, the best player on that roster right now. So they have plenty of options at center that they can move off of, and those are quality names. DeAndre Ayton, I think, is a quality center. Robert Williams, when healthy, very quality center. Like, those are guys that they could easily get something back for. And, I mean, yeah, if I was their GM, I'd be making those moves immediately, especially for center-hungry teams like the Warriors or Lakers. But
what do you think those calls are like? Like, you know, back when Bob Myers was there, Bob Myers gets on the phone, Rob Pelinka gets on the phone. Like, how do you think they, like, talk to each other? It's like, oh. Hey, Bob, or Bob's like, oh, you again? You know, it's just like I just can't even, I can't imagine how these conversations go.
He says,
I wonder if they have like, yeah, you got any picks? But like, I also wonder if GMs have like each other's names as like something different. Like, they have like nicknames for each other to,
do not
they like actually hate each other. Like, oh, man, I'm not answering. It's just, it's labeled do not answer as a contact.
Oh, for sure. Like, I feel like if I'm Rob Pelinka, like, I'm stressed out 24/7 because I feel like you get on the phone with anybody throughout the league, he just comes with his tail between his legs. He's just like, listen, guys, because the media drives it so hard, it's like, I'm calling about a center. It's like, everybody knows that we're calling about a center. Just, just the worst.
And it's a hint of desperation too, because you look at both the Lakers and the Warriors, their names on the roster, and then you look at the records and it's like, oh man, like they really need to like get something done right now. And again, that's another like media driven thing, but it's also just like a history driven thing. Like, LeBron and Steph are going to retire sooner rather than later. And these franchises need to do something for them. So yeah, there's always going to be this desperation for Dunleavy, for Pelinka to make any call and people answer and just like, oh, Yeah. All right. You want something? Like, let me rip your heart out, take your kidneys. Like, yeah. What else can I get out of you just so you can get a center on your roster?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what are we going to do, man? Well, kind of tapping into more Lakers stuff. Question here. Are the Lakers cooking? We've won 4 out of the last 5 games, including a huge win, a massive win against the Boston Celtics. We're currently 5th in the West. How are you guys feeling about the Lakers from the outside perspective before I chime in on this?
I think they're cooking.
Think they're cooking?
Yeah. Bringing back that consistency point that Roman brought up, consistency is very important in the NBA, and I feel like the Lakers have had this group of guys. I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith and who's
Shake Milton?
Yes. Those are new additions, but like they fit the team very nicely. And yeah, these guys just play well together. Seeing big contributions from Austin Reeves on a consistent basis, it feels like. Anthony Davis, of course, LeBron. It seems like I'm getting notifications every night that he's doing some sort of like Fountain of Youth play, like posterizing somebody or catching a lob.
I don't know if you guys know. I don't know if you know, but he's 40. I don't know if you know.
What?
Every fucking thing on Bleacher Report, I swear.
Yeah, is LeBron crazy. Father Time?
But yeah, they're playing really well. They're having a great month of January, and they're currently 5th place in the West. So you're avoiding the play-in tournament by a good amount of games, or not maybe not games, but 5th place, not a bad place to be at all in the West. I'd say they're cooking.
So what is the win differential between the Lakers and Warriors right now?
Let's see.
I was actually going to pull up standings right now. Give me a second.
I got it.
Oh, you already got it up? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'll share my screen real quick for those listening to the show. Sorry.
I think it's 5 games, Roman, off the top of my head.
I'll agree. Yeah, let's see. 24.
Oh, it's 3.
Oof, yeah.
But with each game being a half game, so let's say 6.
Yeah. So those are like that's not the largest of margins, and that's just between 5th and 11th. So yeah, I'm gonna agree. The Lakers are absolutely cooking right now, because if you're a Western Conference team, you have to. This is what teams have to do. If you are not doing this, you are not going to see anywhere near the Western Conference Finals. So I hope this is a consistent thing for them. I hope that they keep this up. And I mean, the Lakers are getting a little bit healthier, right?
Yeah, I mean, all that we're missing now is Christian Wood, and there hasn't been any sort of update, so I can't even speculate on when he's to come back.
But we now know what's good with Vando.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 44 games later. All took
44 games later.
Perfect timing, though, because this stretch of games, like from here on, and then after the All-Star break, it's all very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So looking at just kind of looking at it, the first thing that I really observe, and I think the one thing that we all really need to look at, is 5 through 11. We're separated by 3 games. You know what I'm saying? Every game counts. Like, we lose tonight, we go to 5. If Dallas wins and we lose another one, we drop to 7. You know, like, every single game counts. I think that Denver's starting to push away a little bit, although Minnesota did just beat them, which popped them up into the 8 seed. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Minnesota's starting to cook right now as well. They're starting to catch their stride. But the Lakers, I know, like, one of the other shows, we talked about how it looked like the Warriors and the Lakers had a favorable schedule for the month of January. I definitely think we need to take advantage of everything that we can get, because our strength of schedule is super hard when it comes into March, like March, end of March, like mid February, to pushing it out all the way to the end. It is insane.
Oh yeah.
So we're trying to stack as many wins. That's why, like, losing to the Pistons twice, it's going to kill us. Like, just games that, the ones that you should have won. When we lost to Dallas, when they didn't have anybody in their lineup, and we still lost. Like, it's little games like that that just are going to come back to kick you in the butt. But then again, you make it up with a win against the Boston Celtics, So I feel like we're a team that yeah, we're cooking. I feel like we do really, 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 really good. And then we hit a bad streak. And then we go really, 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 really good. So it's like, I feel like we're going to finish a couple games above 500. I'm hoping it's going to be like 8 to 9 games above .500. Keep us above the, you know, the 7 seed. But yeah, there's a lot of things I mean, I could talk about for days with the Lakers. I think that, I think Austin Reeves, as good as he has been offensively, like I still in my heart of hearts feels like he is a bit of a liability when it comes to ball protection and security. I feel like we see him turning the ball over a lot. And it's something that, as much as I love that guy, I just don't think he's a natural point guard the way that they want him to be. So I think when it comes into trades, that's why I don't think we're trading Gabe Vincent. Because I think that Gabe is another layer of ball security and just like reliability that when Austin's kind of having a tough game, he can come in or they can play together 1A, 1B, like what D'Angelo Russell should have been. So that's okay. I still have a couple of things I'm a little bit worried about. But overall, I think as long as we can build the chemistry and we can kind of keep our heads above water, we'll do something at the trade deadline and we'll fucking floor it on the way home and try to stay above the top 7. Because I think the Lakers and the Warriors have been play in teams for what, like the last 3 years, maybe?
I think so.
Something like that.
At least the last two.
Yeah, it's been the last two.
Yeah. 100%.
But they've had three because it was the 2021 play-in game.
Oh, the I
was that with Wiseman?
Three rims.
Yeah, where he was seeing the three rims. That was the first one.
That man exaggerated, so that's so
hilarious. That's just another classic funny, like corny moment.
Yeah. That was another, you know, like in the Infinity Gauntlet, that's another stone you could put in.
Yeah. Seriously. But yeah, let's get out of here. What's going on with our guy Gui Santos? What's going on?
Gui Santos. He's been seeing a lot more minutes since Draymond and Kuminga have both been out. And he's just kind of been all over the floor, like both ends, just high energy, the shot starting to fall for him. So yeah, I mean he's been playing well. Of course, when Kuminga and Draymond come back, you know, all the rotations and all the minutes.
Yeah.
It's going to look like a totally different team again.
Yeah.
We're used to that.
Yeah.
But no,
Casey, yeah, no, I think, I think Casey and I talked about it a couple episodes ago about Gui Santos and how the announcers, of course, are going to use the corny generic term or phrase, like an energizer bunny on the court. And yeah. I mean, yeah, Casey kind of described him as that just now. Like he kind of just was everywhere, kind of doing everything. And then that, yeah, his shots kind of come along and shooting a little bit more efficiently. Like that's all you can ask for in the Warriors situation missing. I mean, yeah, specifically Draymond and then Kuminga too, who Kuminga has just been this huge offensive kind of powerhouse for the Warriors to rely on throughout this year. But yeah, it's been fun to watch another like developed young player in the Warriors organization kind of come into his own and get this opportunity to kind of get himself out there because other teams are seeing this and maybe he gets another contract to the Warriors or another team looks to try to get him.
Yeah. I wanted to chime in here real quick. I saw on our banners, I ended up getting rid of it because we had already discussed it, but is Draymond out for tonight?
Yes, he's out.
Okay, because I recently saw, according to Johan Buha of The Athletic, that LeBron has been downgraded from probable to questionable. So, so
yes.
Maybe they're taking an early night out.
Yeah, maybe they're headed to go get some Lobos.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, well, I think that yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping for a good game in general. Yeah, I'm happy. Exactly. I'm happy for an early tip-off game. It's gonna be cool. I got my chips and salsa ready. I'm gonna make sure to shout out our sponsor here, StreamEast.app. Make sure that we actually, you know what? I actually just me and some friends went in on a YouTube TV package.
There you go.
So nice. I've got the essentials now. Got good the stuff. Essentials. Yeah, heck yeah.
just playoffs.
Oh yeah. Right. One last thing I think we should go over. I mean, we've talked Warriors, Lakers a good bit here. Just from outside of our core teams here, Jimmy Butler suspended again and open to be playing anywhere but Memphis or Miami, and hopes to finish his career with a new team. I didn't know that he didn't want to play for Memphis.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Down pretty quick.
What's the reason why?
I mean, him and Ja together would have been so much fun to see.
It's interesting because it's like, teaming up with Ja Morant would be something to watch for sure. And then you look at Memphis and the standings, like, they're high up there. I think they got like 30 wins on the season. They're a top three team in the West. So it's kind of interesting that he would tell them, don't trade for me. Maybe it's like he doesn't want to live in Memphis or in Tennessee. I don't know. There's been speculation, especially, I don't know if you guys saw the move that the Phoenix Suns made recently, but they acquired a bunch of first round picks from, I believe, the Jazz or the Hawks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was like they gave one good first rounder for three crappy first rounders.
Yeah, exactly. They made that.
That was to avoid the Stepien rule. I forget what it is in the contract, where basically you can't give multiple like first round picks in consecutive orders. So that's how they got away with that. Yeah, Stepien rule. So
now they got a bunch of first round picks that they could potentially use to acquire a Jimmy Butler. I think the Suns right now are the betting favorite.
Yeah.
To get Jimmy Butler.
How much help does Plumlee need, man? Jeez.
It's all about getting ring one for Plumlee.
100%. I mean, can you imagine? There's somebody out there that like knows all of Plumlee's stats, like career, like favorite player, you know, has every jersey from like Duke or wherever he went. Dude, there's just somebody out there. There's just somebody out there that's always had a favorite player, somebody that we would never expect. Yeah.
Him and his brother confused. Isn't there like a third brother as well?
I'm pretty sure there's three.
I know there's Mason, there's Miles, but I feel like there's another one.
There's Mason, Miles, and Marshall. They also have a sister Marshall. Named Madeline.
So are they like the original Ball family?
I mean, yeah, I guess the Plumleys are like the original Ball family.
But none of them have a hit song.
This is true, because none of them swerve around that corner. Whoa,
we had to do it.
Yes.
Who? Wait, which Ball brother did that?
LiAngelo.
Yes,
the middle one.
So not only has LiAngelo Ball played in the NBA, but he's also had a number one record.
Wow. Number one by what metric?
I don't know.
Social media. The world. The freaking world, man.
When he played the Lions game, I was like, wow, okay, like this is real.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Everybody was blaming the loss on him. which is crazy.
It cursed them, bro.
I think I could blame some other things for the loss, but that's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, running that Jameson Williams trick play down like a bunch of points, he throws an interception. Maybe not a good idea, but what do I know?
Probably not the best idea now. Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to leave it off. We have anybody that's listening in right now, anybody that's tuned in, we've got a viewer in here. I can't see who you are based off of the application we use, but whoever you are,
thank
you
for watching.
We appreciate you. I don't know if you're a Lakers fan, a Warriors fan. Just an NBA fan, but we appreciate you. So make sure to watch the Warriors game versus Lakers tonight, 5:30 tip-off on ABC, ESPN, whatever that hybrid combo is, or wherever, you know, Stream East, Meth Streams, wherever you can get your games at. Until next time, guys, I am Austin Sexton here with Roman and Casey, and we'll catch you next time, guys.
Peace. Yeah.